also says, why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the splinter in your eye, when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? Are we like that at times? Once upon a time, there was a friar. Say it's a true story, huh? A young friar is very intelligent. He went on to school at a seminary to study in Rome. He received his master's degree in theology, then a doctorate. Then he came back to the United States, to his province, to his home friars. And they made him provincial. And he was so happy about that, because now he could see the state of the church, the state of his province, where the order was. And he wanted to do so much to correct it, to make these friars, these people, holy. And they could reach out and change the rest of the church. So he began to do so many things. Very good, he thought. He began certainly to preach, and his homilies were very good, he thought. And he began to do very many good deeds to his friars and to reach out to people, to correct them, to put them on the right path, so he thought. And he was doing so much good, he thought, that he asked God one night in prayer, before he's going to go to bed, he said, Lord, let me see myself through your eyes. And the next morning, when the friar awoke, he felt like a ton of bricks. He was unable to move, and he felt very sick. And not only that, he was so depressed. And he couldn't figure out, what's going on? Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel so depressed, so dark, so gloomy? He wanted things to end, wishing they could be better. And finally, even before noontime came, he asked God, God, what's wrong with me? What's going on? And the Lord said, well, you wanted to see yourself as I see you. Here it is. There's one vice of which, this is C.S. Lewis, he says, there's no vice in which no man in the world is free, which everyone in the world loathes when he sees it in someone else, and of hardly any people except the Christians ever imagine it in themselves. There is no fault which makes a man more unpopular, and no fault which we are more unconscious of in ourselves. And the more we see it in others, the more we dislike it in ourselves. And that vice is what? Andrew, what would that vice be? Right, it's pride. Pride, arrogance. Don't we love people like that? Thank you, Andrew. But we see that. Pride, wow, that blinds us. Pride blinds us to the goodness of God, to goodness of all that is around us. And many people are like that. And truly, I've met people like that, religious. You just want to stay far, far away from them. And some people, perhaps, they see me like that. But pride is something that really turns us off. And C.S. Lewis would say, pride is the greatest sin. It comes not from the world or from the flesh, but from the devil. It comes from hell, and it was the devil's original sin. It was Adam's fall. And certainly it could be ours, right in a way, because we're all affected by our original sin. The tendency, even though we've been baptized and original sin has been washed away, we have a tendency to be focused on me, me, me. And God asks us now. We could go around telling everybody else, this is the way you have to do things. Please do it like this. Plucking the splinter out of our brothers and sisters' eyes, but I can't even see the beam in my own eye. We need that, right? What do we need? What's the virtue that opposes pride, opposes the virtue that opposes all of these vices. It's the virtue of humility, right? Humility. And we see that, huh? Humility. That's what we have to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to strive to imitate Him. Being humble. Listening to mom, dad. Listening to our teachers. Listening to the church as Jesus speaks to us clearly and emphatically through the church at times. So important that we be humble. We need to pray for humility. And we see where the church is at today, the state of the church. Some of the bishops are doing, what some of the priests are doing, what some of the Franciscans are doing, perhaps what some of the laity are doing. We need to pray for humility for all of us. Pray for humility. And that was John Harden who said, the Jesuit, he said, well, if we want humility, pray for humility. But you know, if we pray for humility, we have to expect humiliations. Because this is what makes us humble, humiliations at times. So pray for that. Pray for that humility. It's so, so important in our lives, for our church, for each one of us. To be good parents, to be good students, to be good Catholics, to be good religious priests and bishops. We need that virtue of humility. It's the foundational virtue of all of the virtues. The first foundational virtue is humility. And we imitate Jesus. Just think, again, I know this has been said before, but second person of the Blessed Trinity, right? He comes down and he takes on flesh. Condensation. He condescends, becomes humble, one of us. And further, he suffers and he dies on the cross for us. Humility. And he continues to humble himself every time we come to Mass, right? Coming down on the altar. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Jesus becomes humble. Humility. And what does he do? He offers himself to us. Amazing, no? Isn't it? God gives himself to us, humility, and a host, and the wine. And what, my brothers and sisters, what we receive, we should become, no? We should become humble. We should become humble. So let us not, I hope I can follow this, let us not, you know, pull out the splinter from our brothers and sisters' eyes, but first let us recognize the beam in our own eyes, my own eye. And certainly as Lent is approaching, right, in several more days, it's incredible, right, how fast time goes, but Lent is approaching. It's a time to make that good examination of conscience, that we sit down, and if possible, sit down certainly in front of the Blessed Sacrament, spend an hour before it, just asking, praying the Holy Spirit, enlighten me, that I can see myself as want me to be, and then we have that virtue of humility in our